Got to catch Pastor Brad's message as we, come on, it's a great one, taking us into this new series, God With Us, and just three of the quick thoughts that came out of it, that is that the Lamb is our light forever, that we should embrace the light. Second thought was really talking about embodying the light. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today in a different way, but his last thought was enjoy the light of hope because there is light and there is hope. That, listen, guys, darkness will never overtake light. Amen. Isn't that a great, great, great thought? So anyway, today I'd like to share some thoughts on the Prince of Peace is here. So how many of us, let me get this going over here. I'm going to do this while we're over here. But how many of us could use a little more peace in our lives? Come on. I mean, that's some real stuff. Please do not fall. Thank you. Last week, Pastor Brad, we've been looking at Christmas through the eyes of Advent. Last week, we lit the candle that represents hope. Pastor Brad, which I just talked about that. And today, we're looking at peace, that the Prince of Peace is here. And so, let's just do this. Let's put everything aside. Put your notes down, your phones down for a second. Your word, if you have your word. And I really just want you, men and women, and all of us together, we're just going to close our eyes for a second. I want you to first just take a deep breath in and let it out. And then I want you to think about this question right here for about 30 seconds. Where do you feel a lack of peace in your life right now? Where is it that you know that you could identify that you could use the peace of Christ in your life? And let's just let that sit in there for a little bit. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you for what you're going to do today. Thank you for helping us identify the areas of our life right now at the beginning of this message where there might be turmoil, where there might be chaos, where there might be struggle, and we need your peace. And everybody said amen. How many of us understand that there is a battle that is every day that the enemy is after our minds every day? There's a battle for it. There is a battle for your thoughts. There is a battle, constant battle for your heart, for your hope. And all of this, believe it or not, affects your ability to live in the peace of Jesus. My holiday season so far has been kind of like, come on, God, help me out a little bit here. We came out of this series called Be Thankful. And Wednesday morning, I got up. I was thankful, looking forward for Thanksgiving the next day. Went and came into the church for a little bit, and then I went and worked out, drank an energy drink, so I still had some energy when I got home, decided to start staining my back deck, and I did about a couple hours of that in the backyard and came in and immediately felt that my back was going out. Right in my sacrum, right at the lowest is the lowest it can be, and I knew it. I knew it was coming. There was nothing I could do to stop it. Woke up Thursday morning, Thanksgiving Day, and I couldn't do anything. It was the worst. And we're sitting around the table talking about things that we're thankful for. And I got to tell you, that's a little bit of a struggle there, a little bit. But I was kind of going through it. Friday, I wake up with a migraine. I'm thinking it's from my back. Saturday, it's worse. I've had a migraine again the next day. I come to church on Sunday, back still out. Got this migraine, can't get rid of it. And I quickly realized, like, there's something else going on. So I get up. Once I could kind of get myself going, and I go into the doctor, and I show up to patient first. That's where I go. I've been going there since 2007. I have an amazing doctor. His name is Dr. Santa, believe it or not. Come on, man. It's Christmas season. Dr. Thomas Santa. And anyway, he takes care of me. He's a godly man. We have some great conversations, everything. But I knew I was going to see Santa. Doesn't that sound funny? I'm going to see Santa. But I'm going to see him. Well, I get there at 10:54. Check this out. I arrive at 10:54. I go in to patient first. I put my little name in. You do everything that you do on this little computer. And then you go sit down. Hour later, they finally call me just to get registered. I go back out. I sit in the waiting area. An hour later, they finally come and get me to go and just take my vitals. Sorry, sir, we don't have a room yet. If you'd like to go to your car, we'll text you. I go out to my car. Guys, once I got to see the doctor, once I got to see Santa, and then I left, it was a 4-hour-and-43-minute thing for me. So, guys, I'm going to tell you something. There wasn't a lot of joy and peace and and thankfulness going on right here. I was actually kind of upset. And you guys, the whole thing was that for since Wednesday before Thanksgiving until even up until yesterday, there was a battle going on. Listen to what I'm saying for my mind. And so there's a scripture that we're going to look at. We're going to bounce back and forth a little bit, and then we'll get into the story of Jesus here. But in Philippians chapter 4, Paul has this scripture that he's writing to the church of Philippi. And I want us to read this real quick. And it says this right here. And the peace of God, everybody say peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're looking at the scripture, the thing that you're going to notice, and if you go to any other translation, it's going to be pretty close to what that's saying right there, except in the Message. The Message version, it actually says that the peace of God, which transcends all his understanding, Christ will displace all worry from your life. And why is it that Paul is having to write this at this time to the church of Philippi? Because there was a lot of stuff that was going on during the rising up of the church of Jesus Christ in Philippi. And he knew that if they didn't operate in the peace of God, that the enemy was going to be able to take over their minds and hearts. So the enemy knows, and Paul knew this, the enemy knows how to attack us. He knows our characteristics. He knows how we are, how we're not. So he knows how to go after us. And it's usually through little lies. How many of us understand that little lies are just as bad as a big lie? Because little lies begin to accumulate, and the next thing you know is you're believing the lie. Unhealthy thoughts begin. We should be celebrating, but we're only experiencing discord. My goodness, how many times have you gone to a family get-together? Christmas, Thanksgiving, it could be just after church on a Sunday, and you're there with your family, you should be celebrating and all this, but there's only discord. What about where moments in life where there should be a time of peace, but instead there's only chaos? And what happens is that when chaos has enough time, that's where bondage comes from. That's where you get bound. When we hear the word being bound, that means there's no movement. It leads to something that we call a foothold. When the enemy gets a foothold, you're not moving the way that God wants you to move. You're not being able to say yes and no to the things that God wants you to say yes and no to. And footholds lead to a thing that begins that we understand as strongholds. You see, there is only one who has the power to break a stronghold. There is only one name that chaos still has to answer to, and his name is Jesus. Come on. Jesus is, church. And I want you to hear this. Jesus is. No other name do I know that has the power to displace all worry but the name of Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Guys, everybody say peace. This is what I'm praying and hoping. Because listen, how many of us know as the closer that we go toward December 25th, it's only going to get crazier. Parties, do some work, more parties, go back to work, lots more parties. You know what I mean? Chaos, there's going to be, but I'm praying that God is going to bring peace into this time with you. You see, when God sent Jesus to us, when he gave us the gift of peace, the world was suffering. The world was lost, and the world was in deep chaos. You see, there was no relationship with the Father, and it's no different today, you guys. We are still hurting. We are still lost. Our world is broken, and we still have people that we know that need Jesus, amen? We need Jesus. We need Jesus every day. And what is the evidence? When you see somebody whose heart and mind has been bound, and all of a sudden now, they're operating in a place of peace. What is that evidence? It's through the peace of Jesus. That means the bondage has been broken. Everybody say peace. So let's look at the story. This is a small portion of the story as we go through these next few weeks. Believe it or not, man, we got Sunday on a Christmas this year. It's going to be kind of cool. Luke 2, look at this, starting with verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts. Now in other translations it'll say, and suddenly a large army of angels, or suddenly the very armies of heaven appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. You know what this is? That's fulfillment of prophecy. Almost 740 years earlier, I want you guys to capture what I'm about to say. 740 years earlier, Isaiah the prophet foretells the coming of Jesus as a child. Look at this right here, 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Guys, I think of when the Prince of Peace is here, I think of like back in the 1400s, 1500s. They used to have these men and women that were called town criers. The Prince of Peace is here. The Prince of Peace is here. Isaiah is foretelling the coming of Christ, and now the angels, this vast army of angels, are saying, the Prince of Peace is here. Let's look back at Philippians. Now, listen to what Paul says right here in 4:9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And what does it say? And the God of peace will be with you. See, this is what Pastor Brad was talking about a little bit last week, about embodying the light. That what are they seeing? What are we showing people? Are we giving them Jesus? And Paul's trying to say, just see what I'm doing. How am I reacting? What are the words that are coming out of my mouth? What are the actions that I'm taking? Do you see Jesus? Remember, just a few scriptures before, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, and pure, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Because, guys, there will always be something that we will disagree on. There will always be something that we're going to have different opinions on. I didn't even say this in the first service. I wasn't even planning on saying it. But, guys, I'm thinking about, like, back when I was in eighth grade, ninth grade, and I wanted to have a girlfriend. I didn't think too much about how, you know, if she's pretty. And she was... Well, anyway, I'd want to ask her to be my girlfriend, you know, this whole thing. Well, you know, today, my goodness, man, if they find out you're a Republican, they don't want to have anything to do with you. Find out you're a Democrat, they don't want to have anything to do with you. Politics have gotten involved in somehow. And other things have gotten involved in somehow. You go to church, oh, forget that, I don't know, you go, everything is changing. Everything is starting to, and there's no peace in it. There will always be something. Opinions and disagreements are out there. But today, guys, today, I want us all to think about building our lives on truth. If I'm going to build my life on anything, I want it to be built on truth. If the Word of God is truth, if in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we are talking about Jesus. We are talking about the Prince of Peace. No matter what my circumstances look like, no matter what's going on around me, I know who my God is. I have a relationship with His Son Jesus, and His Holy Spirit is leading my life daily. My peace, your peace, will only come through Jesus. Can I get an amen? I'm not talking about world peace. Come on, guys. Or any type of peace that the world could even possibly answer us. I'm talking about the peace that can only come from the Prince of Peace. Everybody wants to feel at some time in their life peace. Praise the Lord. Wow, I am winded. Guys, I don't know if you guys remember a band called Boston. Come on now. There's a song called Peace of Mind. Sing it with me. I understand about indecision. And I don't care if I get left behind. Sing it out. People living in competition. And all I want is to have a piece of pie. All I want is to go and have a big cry. It's all I want is my peace of mind. Whether you love Jesus or you don't love Jesus, one of our deepest desires is to experience peace. The truth is, I can walk in peace. You can walk in peace. No matter the circumstances, guys, look at this right here. Peace is not about what's going on around me. Peace is about what's going on inside me. Write it down, man. Keep this in your heart. Don't worry about what's outside. What is going on inside here? I want to give you three truths. Because the Prince of Peace, I want to talk about this, the truth of why when Jesus came, when he came to us, because he came to us, the first truth is this: we are no longer enemies with God. Look at this right here. In the Hebrew and the New Testament, it's going to come up here. When it describes the peace of God, or if there's foretelling of the Messiah coming, in the Hebrew, the word is actually shalom. Ken and Paul know. You go to Israel today, and there's still shalom is the greeting. Shalom is wishing tranquility on somebody else. It's wishing them peace and love and awesome. But that's what would describe the peace, the deep peace of God, or the coming of the Messiah. In the Greek, irene says it in a little bit different way. It talks about unity. It's talking about being in one accord. It's being joined together, joining together what was once separated. But the crazy thing about it is, whether it is in the Hebrew or it's in the Greek, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's talking about the same thing, covenant, about being unified in relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. It is the Messiah's peace. Everybody say peace. The truth is, we were once separated from God. Once a year, being able to go and ask for forgiveness, that we used to be enemies, that until Jesus came and became that bridge for us. But because Jesus came as a baby, because of the work that he did on the cross for us, because he died and rose again, because he will return for us one day. Sorry, guys, I'm still getting over this chest thing. We're going into the new year, and we're going to do a series on Revelation. We're going to talk about the return of Jesus. I think we need to do this. I think we need to talk about the third temple, what that means. We need to talk about what the Antichrist means. We need to talk about what it looks like about Jesus actually coming back, if that's what we believe, amen? And there's something about this is that he came once. And man, can we get excited about that? We love Christmas. We love to do that. But to talk about him actually coming back again, you know, until he comes back, this world and this universe will never know what peace is. The true, true ruling and embodiment and eternal of peace. And here's the thing is you guys, we were once separated, but now we're unified to God by Christ. Come on. He has broken down the middle wall of separation, and he is our peace. You know, in warring countries, I think about peace treaties. I think every peace treaty that's ever been written has been broken. And if it hasn't been broken, somebody's trying to break it. I think about Russia and Ukraine, the killing, the senseless stuff that's going on with that entire war. And here's the thing is whether the news puts it on or not, it's still going on. And one day, at some point, there will be a peace treaty. Something's going to happen, and then it's going to stop. But you know what? Just because there's a treaty or somebody got involved doesn't mean all of a sudden Russia and Ukraine are going to become best friends. Is everybody with me on this? But because Jesus came to us, where we were once enemies, where we were once separated from the Lord, because he came in our spot, it's through his gift of peace. Not only is there no hostility or war in our lives anymore, we are united with God as sons and daughters of him. Ephesians 1:5 says this, "For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his children through our union with Jesus. For the same love he has for Jesus, for his son, he has for us." Listen, being counted as a child of God is way better than just being counted as a friend. Hear what I'm saying? I want to be a friend to God, but I want to be a son more than that. Come on, give me an amen. That's truth. When we first moved here back in 2007, there was about 2 or 3 years there, man, that there were so many kids coming in and out of our door, messing around with Ryder and Sky and whatever. And I remember I'd come home sometimes and there would be this one kid that would be in my house. And I'd walk in, all the kids are out playing and I knew they were gone. And I'd walk in and somebody would have my kitchen counters open. I'd walk in and all of a sudden I go, "Danny?" And he would shut the thing and he'd have a bag of chips hanging out of his mouth. I go, "Dude, what are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, I was just trying to find some food." I said, "Where's Ryder?" "He's out playing." I said, "Come here, Danny." And I said, so I grabbed him by the back of his shirt and walked him out. I said, "Hey, man, when Ryder's here, come on in, man," and everything. If I wouldn't have known that kid, if I wouldn't have known him, I would have grabbed him by the back of his pants and thrown him out the front door. But because, listen to what I'm saying, because he had a relationship with my son, get what I'm saying here? He had grace. Because he had a relationship with my son. How many of you are thankful for your relationship with God's son, Jesus Christ? Amen. Because he knew my son, there was relationship. Because of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace is here. Come on. I am no longer an enemy of God. You are no longer separated from your Creator. Because of his gift, the gift and the prophesied by Isaiah, because of Jesus, his peace, he is our peace. I am not an enemy, I am a child of God. Here's the second truth. Because of the Prince of Peace, because Jesus came to us, we have his peace in the midst of, what does it say? All storms. Not just one storm. Not just one. Every storm you'll possibly face in this lifetime, he will be your peace. Come on, isn't that good? I'm going to show my age here a little bit. How many of us in this room is going to show your age too? How many of us in this room remember the Calgon soap commercials? All right, you know where I'm going to go with this one. So, Calgon soap, these commercials were probably on 5 to 6 times a day. I went back on YouTube and found one from 1978. And it's usually a lady that's got these screens behind her, and there's all these things that are going on. And like, here's the script from the one that I found. It said, "The traffic, the boss, the baby, the dog, that does it. Calgon, take me away." And then magically, she is transported to this massive bathtub full of bubbles and soap, and she's in Italy. Come on, man. Come on. Wow, wouldn't that be incredible that we could find peace that easily in a bottle of soap? You know, have you ever just wanted or needed a little peace that you would go sometimes and just go get a nap, just go lay on your bed? Maybe you go off to read a book, but you end up falling asleep. You go off to listen to some music and you're chilling out. Next thing you go to sleep. Why? Because it's a time of peace. You know, and you know, a year ago, we were in Dallas for Christmas with my brother's family, and we had decided on Christmas that we weren't going to open them up that morning. We were going to let everybody just kind of sleep in. We'd eat like a brunch. And then we would open them up later that afternoon. So we had done that. We'd eaten and everything. And so Sky disappears upstairs to go take a nap. Well, and it's supposed to be a time of peace. Is everybody with me? Just see how Ryder treated that time of peace.
It's time to wake up! Come on! Open at them! We gotta get moving! Now!
Is the holly that will be on your own?
That is definitely not the way you want to be awakened from a time of peace. Amen? Come on now. No matter who you are, where you come from, the storms of life, listen to what I'm about to say, is no respecter of persons. Guys, you know, while I was on the mend and taking whatever, I didn't know where my mind was going sometimes in this message. And I remember when I got to no respecter of persons, I thought, I just want to Google this. You know, and I Googled no respecter of persons. And guys, you know what happened was? What came up was just a list of definitions of what that was talking about. And guys, here's what came out of this. No respecter of persons means that it is not influenced by status, by power, the color of your skin, or wealth. You can be the rich of the rich or the poor of the poor. We will all experience storms in our life. Because of this fact, because of this truth, we all need his peace. You know, I used to go into my kids' rooms up until they were six, because after that, you know, it gets creepy. You don't want to scare them and stuff like that and whatever. But I would go in there, and sometimes I'd go, about once a week, and I'd go sit at the end of my kids' beds and just put my hand on their leg and just listen to them breathe. Just being in the presence of a kid that had so much energy, and then they're shut down, lights are out, and they're just lying there in peace. There's a recuping going on. There is a re-energizing, whatever you want to call it. But I'm just in the presence of a calm, of a peace, and thanking God for who he gave me. And see, here's the thing is that there was something about just being present and being there, hearing them breathing, peace, no cares, no worries, just resting. This is going to come up for you. Peace isn't the absence of storms and difficulties. It's actually the presence of God. Amen. Come on. Just because a storm ends, this storm is done. Oh, wow. Oh, I just finally got out of it, you know. Well, next week, you know, guess what? I wish I could tell you for the rest of your life, you're not going to walk into another one. But because the peace that I'm feeling is not just because the chaos stopped, it's because the peace of God's on me. The gift of who he is, this gift of Jesus is in my life. Let's go back to Philippians 4:7. Look at this. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Let's just break it down for a second. Let's look at what Paul's saying here. And the peace of God, we already know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? So the peace of God, which is Jesus, the Son of God, will guard your hearts and your minds in him. Irene. Peace of God. Irene of God. In Christ Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the Son of God. It's the Holy Spirit. That Paul is trying to say that if you want to live where your hearts and your minds are guarded at all times, it's going to only come through the peace of his Son. It's through the peace of Jesus. God's presence brings peace. Even when circumstances are storming around us, all storms, everybody say all storms. Even though it seems all we are doing is putting out fires, Jesus is and is always going to be our peace. Isaiah 9:6-7, look at it again. Prince of Peace, his government and peace will never end. Remember, this is Isaiah, he's prophesying, he's trying to let them know, the Prince of Peace is coming. And then the angels go to the shepherds and they're saying, the Prince of Peace is here. He's here. Right now, he's here. When we took that 30 seconds just to think about somewhere where there might be a fire or chaos in your life, I'm telling you, he's here and he's waiting to help you. Here's that third truth. Because the Prince of Peace, because Jesus came to us, we get to claim his peace for ourselves. How many of you guys have ever won something through a raffle? Yeah, so first time that ever happened to me, I was 15 years old. We were in Ceres, California, at like a county fair rodeo deal. And I walked in. The guy goes, hey, you want a raffle ticket? I go, oh, I don't got no money. He goes, no, take it. It's free. I was like, yeah, man. So I took it. I put it in my pocket, rode rides, having a blast. And I go to the rodeo, and they start calling out these numbers. Guys, they called out my number. I'm 15 years old in 1981, and I won $75. Guys, I ran down on that rodeo, took my, you know, I was happy. You know why? Because I was getting to go down there and claim it. You know what I mean? I was thinking about these the women at the women's brunch. Oh, they had stuff behind the seats, and if it was there, they could get it. And if they called their numbers, and then they started doing this thing, whoever could get it, it was like football watching them. You know, like they're racing down there trying to, you know, knock each other over, who's going to get the prize and all this. Guys, why the excitement? Because they got to claim their prize. Back in May, we were down in Orlando just having a family time, and we were at this resort. And I got through working out, walked out to the pool, and Lori and well, Ryder, Sky, Lori, and Chase are laying there. And I hear these numbers. I'm like, what's going on? And I realize they're playing bingo out by the pool. And so I'm like, oh, wow, you know, okay. So I hear them, and she's calling. Literally, I hadn't even put my foot near the pool, and I hear Ryder go, bingo! And Ryder had won. Everybody's like, hey. And Ryder runs over there. And the people who called his number weren't paying attention. And he just grabbed a bunch of prizes and kind of walked back. And so they realized what happened. So they call him, hey, Ryder, could you come back and bring some of those gifts back? You know, so, but he was so excited, you know, for being able to go and claim his gift. Guys, look at Luke 2:11 right here. And this is for you. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Look at all these other translations. Today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. We were never designed to carry the weight of this world. Can I just say this to some of the parents? We were never designed to carry the weight of our family. It's a responsibility to be there and to be the best fathers and mothers that you can possibly be, but to try to carry the weight of your family. You know, I've thought about that. I've thought about everything that I've tried to do and just to be a father and to be the best husband that I can be for the past 34 years. But you guys, the whole thing is that I've needed Jesus the whole way. I'm going to have the worship team come on up. Let's give them a hand as they come on up. I just thought that they did an amazing job today. You guys see, this unshakable peace comes from knowing Jesus and trusting him with every detail of our lives. Listen to what I'm about to say. We get to claim his peace. I mean, he writes our name down in the book of life, and we get access to his peace. We get to claim it. It's a gift, and I love this. Look at this in John 14:27. This is Jesus himself. This is his words. I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Notice what Jesus says, I leave you the gift. He says, I leave you my peace, I leave you my perfect peace. Guys, I look at it this way. It's like it's a deposit. It's like he's deposited his peace in us because he sees value there. He's making an investment in your life. And it's not the world's peace. It's not from a peace treaty. It's from the peacemaker. It's Jesus himself, the Prince of Peace. He gives it, his peace, into us. Church, if there's anything that you grab from today and apply to your life, look at this right here. We don't work our way into a feeling of peace. Jesus is peace, and it's his gift to you. Can't work for it. He's already given it to you. He's already given it to you. In fact, in this translation, he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, that God sent his only son to be a gift for you. If you are a business owner here today, I want you to listen to what I wrote these down specifically for some people today. If you are a business owner and the grind and the interactions with clients, the hustle, maybe they've wrote some hateful things online about you, that there's not enough time in the day. Jesus this morning is promising you his peace. If you are in the workforce and you're worried about your job or struggling to find a job, I had a doctor visit online, video chat thing. And he's sitting there talking to me and he goes, yeah, I'm retiring in 2 weeks, whatever, and I'm like, congrats. Then all of a sudden it dawns on me. I go back, he sends me back to the front office lady, and she goes, Mr. Stewart, this is what I said. Hey, I go, doctor's retiring, not Dr. Santa. Hey, Santa's still on, you know what I'm saying? Not talking about Dr. Santa, so don't get sad. I go, what does that mean? She goes, well, we've been trying to find a doctor to fill the office, but we can't find anybody, so we're all going to have to look for jobs in 2 weeks. Eight ladies, I know them all, eight of them are going to be without a job. And so listen to what I'm saying. If you're struggling or you're worried about a job, anything like that, he is promising you peace. If you are a student and you are struggling with your classes, a teacher, maybe you're in college and maybe the career path you have chosen is flooding you with anxiety. I'm telling you, he is saying peace. He's speaking it, peace. Let this room flood with that word, peace, that it would be over every one of us. You and I get to claim his peace. He is the Prince of Peace. It is his title. And when he says my peace, he is literally saying, this is my personal peace. The peace that I own, the peace that I will govern and rule eternity by. He is the manufacturer, he is the creator, and he is the only one who can give it to you. Honestly, family, sometimes I think we need to just go back to the book of Psalms and just read through it sometimes. Because you'll come across a scripture like this one, Psalms 46:10. Be still and what? Just know that I'm God. One of the greatest scriptures that speaks to the peace of Jesus, and it doesn't even mention Christ. Be still and know that I'm God. But because we know who God is, because who we know Jesus is, he is God, and he is the Prince of Peace. Let Jesus stand up in your boat. Let him stand up at the front of your boat and speak to the wind and the waves and say, peace. Somebody receive this today. Give Jesus the ability to get in your boat and stand at the front and go, peace, be still. Storm, go away in the name of Jesus. Let's go back to John 14:27. Let's look how it finishes. I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Look at this. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. That's the storms, you guys. Well, but what does it say? Instead, be what? Be courageous. Be bold. Just know Jesus is in your boat. And if you ask him, he'll stand up and he will speak peace over your situation. Maybe it's you standing in your own boat going, the Prince of Peace is here. Be a town crier today in 2022. The Prince of Peace is here. Come on, church. He is here. He has peace for you. It is a gift, and you get to claim it in the name of Jesus. Where is it that you need peace? I'm wrapping this up. Where is it that you need peace? Is it in your home? Is it in your marriage? Is it in your job? Do you have a big decision that's coming up? Or how about this? How many of you have made multiple bad decisions and you just need peace from that? Children, you need peace. Parents, you need peace. Your mind and heart, whatever that looks like, if there's something going on in your mind and you just can't get past it, he is the Prince of Peace. And then lastly, how many of us just need rest? Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are.